Thanks, Paul. I was going to ask for prayer. The observant among you might have noticed that I came in somewhat late. And it wasn't because I was deep in prayer this morning and lost count of the time. My phone went to sleep and didn't wake up this morning, so it wasn't in a position to wake me up, and I slept in. I'll start just, I'm going to read a scripture to start with, and then we'll just put that aside for a moment. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts and how the Holy Spirit works through each person differently and bestows different gifts on different people for different purposes. And then it goes on to say, "But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so is Christ. For by the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, whether we're bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether there one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular." So just putting that aside for a little bit. Both Nigel and Maury sort of captured what had been, on my heart for a little while, just in terms of this time of the year, which it is, you know, that time of the year for most of us, I think, a time to reflect backwards and to take stock and to look forwards. So when I reflect personally on the recent times, I've had 3 years of work which has been a real battle in terms of the demanding it has been, and how big the issues have been that I've been working on, and that can become a bit consuming. And there are good things about that and negative things about that. with our kids, we've had over the last few years, our two youngest kids, that the normal school that we had them in just wasn't really working out for them, and so we pulled them out, and we've been sort of half homeschooling and half tutor schooling them. And you know, when you step into that, that's the whole world of sort of uncertainty and wandering around in the dark trying to work out what the best thing to do is. We've had financial pressures. We've had in our family, I guess, it's been difficult to sort of find to have the whole family coming to church together. And some of that's to do with the ages of kids. You know, the older, and many I know will have addressed that situation where kids grow up and then they want to be somewhere different or doing something different. But all of these sorts of things create, you know, a part of the ups and downs and struggles, and everyone has their own story of those things that have been difficult or challenging, or losses and of victories through this last year. With Darlington United Church, we're obviously, you know, at the end of this year facing a time of uncertainty and change. And I guess actually that's probably really the one thing that is a certainty is change. No, we can never get too comfortable. As soon as you get too comfortable, watch out. And I stepped up onto council because I could see that work commitments were sort of resolving a little bit, and I'd have a bit more time. And I had the perspective that I could see Rod being here for a while, and I was interested in working with him and spending more time with him as well. So that hasn't worked out for the way I thought it might. And one of the things I thought there was how sometimes, you know, we can think ahead of things, particularly when it comes to relationships. You think, oh, you know, when this is out of the way and that's out of the way and something else is out of the way, I'll spend more time with this person or that person, or and then before you know it, they're gone. And so, you know, sometimes things just happen because that's the way things worked out. But there are times when I think it's good for us to sort of reflect on things and think, well, maybe I missed some opportunities. You know, maybe I could have, if I created some time, I could have been working closer with Rod on things over the last 2 or 3 years if I'd made the time, instead of waiting for a time that suited me. That's just as an example. But I've come to the end of this year and I've been, I think, a little bit tired. You know, it's been draining year, and I can, other than, you know, we do have years that are draining, we do have years that are intense, periods of time in life that are intense, and that's just the way it is. But I can also look back and think, well, you know, maybe if I'd had a greater priority on taking that time aside to be with my Heavenly Father and being in union with Him, I might have found more strength. If I'd reached out to people in the body and sought fellowship more often, sought prayer more often, maybe I would have found more strength then too. And I think, you know, our Western lifestyle is so much individual focused, about our independence and us doing our own thing, and busyness and things and stuff and all of that, rather than community. And we kind of have to fight that. With our fellowship, This is clearly, you know, this is we have had a time of taking stock as we thought about, do we merge with Bellevue Baptist? And that brought out lots of thoughts and reflections on, well, what is this body? What does it mean to us? What does it mean to us individually? What is it we appreciate about it? What is it that might change? Would that be a good thing or a bad thing? But one of the comments that Robin Samble made really stuck with me, because there were lots of, you know, positive things that people reflected on in terms of what the community is like here. But, you know, Robin pointed out that, well, nobody's sharing needs in terms of meals, for example. That was, I think, the specific context. But and that really did stick with me, just in terms of... And the scripture that comes to mind is James 5:16, which says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. And, you know, that confession, I mean, that speaks of humility. You know, when you have needs, you can decide that they're not really that big. I can handle this on my own. It actually takes a step of humility to approach somebody and say, you know, I have a need. It may not be a very big need, but could you pray with me about this? Or do you have any advice about this situation that I'm in? And I wonder how much God was ready to give to us through other people that we didn't receive because we didn't ask. In Jesus' words, or part of it, he said, you know, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. And then he said, oh, well, did he say it was how much he prayed? How godly you were, how pious, how giving, the works that you did, how you talked, how you dressed. And I know you know the words. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And I'm just going to change tack a tiny bit, because we're in a battle, and I think you know, the classic way of winning a battle is divide and conquer. And I think our enemy really likes to get everyone so busy and so focused on their own little world that they're disconnected, that we're not actually connected into the vine, we're not really abiding in Jesus, but also that we're not actually really living together, we're not connected together, we're not actually functioning as a body, because he knows that that results in weak Christianity, and it results in a weak demonstration of the love that we have for one another, so that people don't know that we are his disciples. I think this might be a story I've shared before, and I'll share it fairly briefly. It's a long time ago now, when Juliana was pregnant with our first, 28 weeks pregnant. And we went out that morning on our motorcycle. But I'll never forget that morning, the morning beforehand, because I went down by the lake near Hertzman Lake where we were staying, and sort of tried to have a little bit of a prayer time for the morning. But it was like there was a fog just hanging over me. And I'm sure, you know, some of you can relate to that. Just It's like getting out of bed out of the wrong side of bed. A morning where you, or a day where you approach things where things just feel wrong, or there's something not right. You can't, or you're not able to really think clearly. You feel that you're under a fog or something. And I was really in that sort of place. It's like everything just felt wrong or out of place. And it never occurred to me to ask someone, to ring someone or ask someone to pray, or to realize that it might be a spiritual thing. But that morning when we went out riding, we came across a particular road situation where a lane had been blocked off. And so I ignored the possibility of traffic coming from that direction, and stopped at just near that point to turn. And what I didn't realise is that from the other end approaching, they'd actually split the one-way lane the other way into two lanes. And I didn't know that. So when I turned to turn into a side street, there was a car coming from behind us on the other side. Now, Juliana saw that that was happening. And afterwards, when we've talked about it, she said it was as if the car just moved like 3 feet sideways. So instead of going right over the top of us, we hit the side door of the car. And we hit the door hard enough, even though it was from a standing start, that the passenger side door could not be opened. I actually went, I think, through the air, but I landed on my feet, and I don't remember the instant from the impact to being on my feet, but I was on my feet and I didn't know how I got there. And Juliana had a hairline fracture in her leg, and our unborn child was perfectly okay. So I think whilst we hadn't sort of asked for prayer or reached out or sought for anything that morning when things felt wrong, that the assignment that the enemy had sent to kill us was thwarted, and I would bet that somebody was praying. That morning somebody had prayed for us. But, you know, we are in a battle, and I think probably many of us know people who have, where brothers or sisters who've died, and you've thought that didn't feel like the right time for them to go. I feel like we've been robbed of that person. Because we are in a battle, and I think, you know, we have an enemy who would like to take us out, and if he can't take us out, then he would like to make us ineffective. Whether that's through busyness or personal struggles or whatever it is, or even doing good things, but just doing good stuff that God doesn't really care about, or maybe doesn't want us to be doing. You know, that's another trap for us, is good works, but not the works that God wants us to be doing. Ephesians 5, and I think I might have shared a little bit of what I'm sharing now, but it's just such a wonderful analogy, I'm going to do it again. Sorry, 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. He says then, so I just want to dwell or link in a little bit and go back to the scripture about the body. So I'm moving to the Amplified to go just a little bit deeper. So in Ephesians 6:10, verse 10, Paul says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him, draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. I think I remember there was somebody may know this story more accurately, but there was a famous saint who used to pray, I don't know if it was 2 hours or 3 hours a day, every day. And when somebody sort of said something to him about, well, gee, you know, doesn't that take a lot of the day out? How do you get everything done? And he said, oh, well, the more I've got, the more I need to get done, the more I need to pray. So if I have a day that I really need to get a lot done, well, I'll pray even longer. It's amazing how things can just happen so easily and so quickly when God's hand is upon them and when we've committed these things to him. The other scripture which came to mind there, and of as we think about where we're at and where we're going, is the beautiful scripture from Proverbs 3. About committing your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. And he shall direct your paths. And there's something about that which is a very, there are times I think we go through the motions in the morning. You know, we might commit our day to God, we might pray, but perhaps we're really just going through the motions. Our heart's not really in it. We've already worked out what we're doing, where we're going, how it's going to happen, and we're just getting the rubber stamp of prayer and sort of punching it on the envelope before we post it. And I think it makes a difference when we really pause and really deliberately commit our way to him. Verse 18. Actually, before we get to that, the whole the analogy of the armor, which I heard somebody share some time ago, which I just loved it. When Paul wrote this, and I don't know this for a fact, but he may well have been chained to a Roman soldier. But he would have been very familiar, regardless, with the Roman soldier's outfit, with the armour. And he would have been very familiar with how the Roman soldiers worked together. And anyone who knows the history of, how the Roman of how the Roman army worked, one heavily armoured Roman soldier can't do very much at all on their own. all of their training, all of their training, all of their drills and practice of how to use their equipment and how to hold defensive positions. It was all about squads and centurions, groups of soldiers working closely together. I saw the Hobbit movie yesterday, the last installment, which I actually really enjoyed. But one of the little scenes there they had was where they had all these dwarven, heavily armoured dwarven soldiers, and they all jump together and build a shield wall that's two shields high. Like, it's almost as if there's one standing on top of the other, or one holding a shield up high. And you end up with this impenetrable wall of shields. And the Roman soldiers did that too. They interlocked their shield or overlapped their shields. And, they had that tortoise formation, which you've probably seen on, TV shows on Roman, that feature Roman times battles and things, where the ones behind put their shields above, and you end up with kind of like a tank of moving soldiers, all fully protected. So in Ephesians 6, verse 16, it says, "Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one." And then at verse 18, he says, "Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people, and for me." So Paul is asking for prayer as well. So when we pray for one another, we're lifting up the shield of faith to cover our brother or cover our sister. Just going back to 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm not going to go into the body of that too deeply, but it paints such an amazing picture about how there are so many different parts, and when you look at the way the analogy he uses of the body, there's a rather large difference between an eye and a foot. So if you look around here and you think, "My God, I'm just so different from these people next to me," well, that might be exactly the way it's supposed to be. Because when we get through to verse 25, the Lord's purpose, the Holy Spirit's purpose in bringing together people who are different, who have different gifts and different callings and different abilities and different weaknesses and different strengths, so that there is no division or discord or lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to each other, but that the members all alike have a mutual interest in and care for one another, which sounds a lot like Jesus' command. And if one member suffers, all the parts share the suffering. If one member is honoured, all the members share in the enjoyment of it. And that reminds me back to, how much suffering has been shared and how much honouring or joy has been shared. Maybe there's more that we could have shared together and with each other. And verse 27, "Now you collectively are Christ's body. Individually, you are members of it, each part severally and distinct, each with his own place and function." And that's a bit like the situation you have in a partnership or a joint venture where you get a group of people working together towards something where there's a close relationship between them. Each person has an individual role. They bring individual capital or gifts or whatever it is to that relationship. But they're in the same boat together. And you know, in legal terms, the way that works is if you're in partnership with somebody and somebody's, or you're in a joint venture with somebody, if one party is sued by an external person, so if somebody takes a legal action against one partner, all partners are in it. So, you know, when you have that, of course, in a marriage, if your spouse is sued, well, you're sued too. You're in the same boat together. And I think that in some ways that's the picture here. It's like, well, you better watch out for your brother or sister, because if they get hurt, it's going to hurt you too. And I love the last part of that verse, certainly the way it brings it out in the Amplified. You know, each part severally and distinct. So we have this distinction. It's not about communism where we are this kind of blob of humanity and individually we don't count, we don't matter. It's all about the system or whatever. It's not like that at all. And I think that's just one of the most magnificent and wonderful things about God, about the Lord and his family, is how the big picture matters, and that's actually the most important thing. Yes. And the martyrs understand that, because it wasn't about their life. It was about laying down their lives for a bigger cause, a greater cause. So yes, there is a greater cause, but the Lord cares about each individual part of the body, and he's especially gifted each individual person for a specific role and purpose and place. So we each have our own place and function. So, kind of wrapping that up together, you know, as we take stock, I think it's, you know, and I didn't have a lot of time to sort of eloquently pull together the right phrasing for questions, but let each of us sort of ask ourselves whatever questions we need to ask. And some of the things I was thinking of is, well, you know, where am I today? The journey that I've been on has taken me to a particular spot, and that's where I am, with God, with fellowship with other people, with family, with all sorts of things, with everything. Was it where I intended to get to? Was it where God intended me to get to? Is this where he wants me to be now? There might be some repentance in order. In fact, I think there's always repentance in order. And as I think about that, where does God want me? And, you know, do you know your gifts, your calling, your talents? Is your talent the one that's buried out in the backyard so that it doesn't get lost? What's your place in the body? And as we face some uncertainty as a church fellowship, with Rod moving on, you know, that it's always an opportunity. It's a bit of a wake-up call. Maybe we need, some of us, or all of us perhaps, need to be thinking, well, what's my place in this body? What are my gifts? What am I doing with my gifts and my talents? Am I using them the way God wants them to be used? And really importantly, who are your Shield brothers and sisters? You know, we all can't connect really deeply with every single person in this fellowship. We don't have enough time. Jesus divided his time, his serious investment time was divided among 12. And you know, I think lots of studies have shown that, you know, like a classroom, that probably the best size for a classroom is somewhere between 8 and 12. But who are those, your Shield brothers and sisters, the ones that you need to be deeply connected with, you need to be confessing your faults to and your shortcomings and your weaknesses, you need to be carrying one another's burdens, you need to be raising the shield of faith to cover them and to have them cover you with their shield of faith. Who are they? And are you really investing in that? Are you allowing God to give what and to do what he wants to do through those relationships? And what's the mission? Looking ahead to this year, in terms of receiving and growing, are there people or places that you're involved in where you're receiving, where you're growing, where you've got people who are perhaps mentoring you or discipling? And I think, you know, all of us need people that we can, some sort of ministry that we're drawing upon for our growth. And some of that obviously just happens with each other. And who are you giving and ministering to? What's the ministry that God has for you? You know, one of the things, you know, we went through a long patch of time that was really, really difficult, probably 15 years, maybe more, because we battled through depression and all sorts of just really difficult personal issues. And it was like survival for 15 years. And through that time, we didn't draw enough on the body of Christ around us to support us and strengthen us and uphold us. But we came out the other side. We got some really great help, and we came out the other side. And to start off with, I think I felt so sort of battered and beaten down. I didn't place any value on what God had done in me or what he might be able to do through me. And it took a bunch of young people, sort of, who are, it's just the image of what the cat dragged in, but that's a bit unfair. My older daughter's friends knocking on our door and just starting to hang around us, and some of them needing mentors and, you know, spiritual parents. And that's kind of what started to open my eyes. And after a while, I realized, you know, we've been on a long journey, and, you know, all of us, many of us here, we're not all kind of in our 20s anymore. You know, we've been through stuff, we've fought battles, and we've come through things, and we've learned stuff. And we need to recognize that God wants to use what he's done in us. And there is value in the wisdom that we each have. You know, we each have wisdom and experience, and you know, there's treasure there. And all we need to do is put our trust in the Lord for how he can use us. And one of the most wonderful revelations, I think, is knowing that it doesn't even matter how badly you've stuffed up. You just take a look at poor old King David. It was a write-off time and time and time again. Completely blew it so badly that most religious people would have thrown him on the scrap heap probably 20 times over in his life. How could God use somebody like that when they've stuffed up that badly? And isn't it wonderful how, in actual fact, some of us learn our best lessons through some of our worst mistakes. And if we can hand that over to God, it can become something beautiful and wonderful that he can use. So as a church fellowship, you know, we've got decisions individually and corporately to make about how this fellowship will function. And more so without a pastor, it means sometimes everyone just sits back and cruises and the pastor does everything. Well, if you don't have a full-time pastor, that can't happen. So the parts of the body need to wake up and have a think about what their role is and what their place is and how we fit together and, you know, what does that mean for how this fellowship functions? And I think I might leave it there because I'll just start repeating myself. But I thought it would be good just to pray. And just pick up on, in a sense, I guess, the prayer that Nigel and Maurie prayed about taking stock and looking ahead and just commit some of these thoughts to the Lord. And do you reckon we could all stand? And I'll pray, but if somebody else just has a sense that, you know, God's put something on their heart to pray that follows on from what we've just been sharing, please come and take the mic and pray as well. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your body. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, that each of us has a deposit of your Spirit within. And Lord, with each of us who are your children, you have placed gifts and callings and talents and purpose, that divine special purpose. And all that we do in our lives is spiritual. You know, some of us may have big work commitments this year, and that may be the main thing, the main focus, and that may be your purpose. But Lord, as we take stock, as we look back, as we assess where we are as individuals and as a body, I pray and invite, Lord, your Holy Spirit to shine the light of your truth into our hearts and minds. Lord, to welcome the conviction of your Spirit, Lord, where we've missed it, where we've not been taking your callings or your gifts or your mission seriously enough, or where we've been doing stuff that we wanted to do but it wasn't really what you wanted us to be doing. You know where each one of us is at, and you've equipped us and prepared us for works. So we pray, Lord, that you would convict our hearts and our minds of what it is you want us to be doing, where you want us to be going as a body with each other and as individuals, Lord, in the calling you've laid on each one. And pray especially, Lord, that you would just draw us, Lord, into deeper connection and fellowship and relationship with those that you that you want us to lock shields with. Lord, would you bind us together? Would you strengthen the linkages between us in those places where it needs strengthening? Would you place that burden of care upon our hearts, Lord, for those that you want us to be praying for, to be lifting our shield of faith over and covering? Lord, would you convict us over those weaknesses or those faults, those challenges, even if it's just a positive challenge, but it's a big one. Those things that we need to be stepping down in humility and approaching our brothers and sisters and asking, inviting their prayer, inviting their input, drawing upon the gifts that they have to offer us. And Father, as we face the uncertainty of the future, Lord, we commit our lives into your hands, individually and corporately. Commit this fellowship into your hands. Commit this coming year into your hands and pray that you would lead us and guide us, and you would open our ears that we might hear what you're saying to us. And Lord, just knock that stubbornness where we have stubborn resistance to what you're saying to us. Pray, Lord, for grace and humility and conviction to cover that too. Help us, Lord, to be your body.